First Peter chapter number 1. First Peter chapter number 1. I appreciate the good singing. Appreciate you being here this morning. I appreciate the Lord being here this morning. Amen. I'm glad I like that part about there's no record of my past. Amen. I'm under grace. Amen. Thank God. My past, people could drag up my past, and God says, what past are you talking about? Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about this morning, what you need to do is be washed in the blood. Amen. You get washed in the blood, and the past is gone. Amen. As a child of God, you'll not give one account for one sin, amen, in your past, amen, when you stand before God. You say, preacher, what? Hey, Jesus said it's finished. He took care of it at the cross, amen. Thank God. I just want to say thank God for that, amen. There's a lot of things in my past, Brother Mark, I don't want nobody to know. Amen. Don't go. Sometimes I hear people giving testimonies, and they talk about all they used to be, and sometimes it's almost like they're bragging on sin and bragging on the devil. It's all right to remember where you're at and where you were and everything, but hey, don't drag that stuff up too much. Amen? Hey, I thank God that stuff's gone, amen. Jesus washed it away with his blood, amen. I thank God it's gone. Amen. First Peter chapter number 1. If you would, stand with me. Give your chance to stand up, stretch a little bit. You'll be sitting down for a couple hours. So, First Peter chapter number 1. In verse number 18, the Bible says, for as much as you know, amen, I like that word know. It said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we love you, God. We thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you, God, for each person that's here, made their way out. Lord, took time out of their day to come to your house and to worship you, to hear from your word. I pray, God, that you speak to our hearts, oh God. I pray you'd illuminate our minds. Holy Ghost of God, I pray you'd speak to us. I pray, God, you'd help us in all that we do this morning to please you. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, Holy Ghost, I pray you'd convict souls and show them their need of a Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, you'd show Christians, Lord, the need to grow and the need to draw nearer to you, the need to be in your Word. God, I pray you'd help us this morning. Do the work that only you can do, oh God. We'll thank you for all you do, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. In verse number 23, Peter writes and he says, being born again, being born again. And he's got the thought here of the new birth. And in verse number 22, he uses the words, he says, seeing you purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. I want to preach this morning, if I was going to title it, I'd just title it like this, born again, being born again. But to be born again, it means to be born from above or to be born anew. That word actually means to be born newly or to be produced once more or again. We've been born the physical birth. Everyone that's been in, you're sitting in here this morning, you've come through a physical birth. But the Bible says that we need a second birth. Jesus said in John chapter number 3, he told Nicodemus, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in chapter 3 of John, verse 5, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And he said in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So Jesus said
that the new birth is an imperative. It's not a suggestion. He said, if you're going to see heaven, if you're going to get to heaven, if you're going to go to heaven and enter in, he said, you've got to be born again. You must be born again. Can I say to you this morning, in 2012, the rules haven't changed one bit. Hey, society changes, politics change, everything, but God's Word's still the same. And if you're going to see heaven, if you're going to go to heaven, if you're ever going to get to the other side, and you're not going to go to hell, you're going to go to hell. Can I say, you must be born again. It's a divine imperative. And Jesus said, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. He's talking about the new birth. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. He said, even to them that believe on his name. So how do I be born again? It's by believing on his name and trusting him. And when I believe on him, the Bible says he gives them the power to become the sons of God. That is, he empowers them to have the new birth. Amen. And the new birth is a divine imperative. And can I say, that is what Peter's talking about here in verse number 23 when he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Being born again. And I asked you the question this morning, have you ever been born again? You say, well, I think I have. I flipped up. No, he's not talking about reformation. He's not talking about flipping over a new leaf. Can I say you can turn over a new leaf, but when the wind blows, it'll flop the other way. He's not talking about, you know, setting some kind of a New Year's resolution or a reformation. No, he's talking about, have you ever had a brand new beginning? Amen. I'm talking about a new birth. I'm talking about a time when you started, the slate was wiped clean and you started brand new. That's a new birth. That's a new life. Can I say the new birth will produce new life, but it will produce new love. Amen. New love. That's what he says in verse number 22 where he said, obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love. Can I say to you this morning that he says something here about our love in connection with the new birth? I want to say that our love will be a spiritual love in the new birth. It will produce a new love that is spiritual. That is, it is. He said, through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Can I say there's some people that I love because they're good people, but there's some people that I can't love without the Spirit of God. Amen. Just be honest. And then he said, not only is it spiritual love, but he said your love will be sincere. Amen. He said through unfeigned love. That word unfeigned has the idea of to be pure. It has not to be fake, not to be dissimulated, but it's sincere. It's pure love. And then he says, watch this. In the end of verse 22, he said, with a pure heart, fervently. So not only is it spiritual, not only is it sincere, but this love is to be a striving love. It's one that's fervent, it's intense love. It's one, it makes a difference, amen. I'm talking about a love that you cannot produce in the physical, you cannot produce in the natural. This love comes through the new birth. The new birth. You can't have it without the new birth. Let me say, if you don't have it, I doubt very seriously you've ever experienced the new birth. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Wow, it got real quiet. Can I say our churches are full of people that call themselves Christians, that say they're saved, say they have had the new birth, say they're on their way to heaven, but they hate somebody on the other side of the pew. They won't talk to somebody on the other side of the church. They won't shake their hand. They won't help them out in need. They don't want they're the wrong color. They smell funny. They ain't got the kind of clothes I got. They ain't from where I'm from. Look up in here. Jesus said, love them, amen. And if you don't love them, something's wrong. Something's bad wrong. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 5, I said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Can I say, when you got saved, if you got saved, when you experienced the new birth, the Holy Ghost was put inside of you, and when the Holy Ghost came inside of you, the Bible said he has shed abroad love inside of us. He shed abroad love in our heart. He's put the love of God down deep inside. Amen. And if he's got the love on the inside, honey, it ought to show on the outside once in a while. He said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The moment you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost, and when you got the Holy Ghost, he brought love. Amen, preacher. Galatians chapter number 5, the Bible says, and we all quote it, the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the very first one on the list? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Don't tell me you love God. Don't tell me you're full of the Spirit of God. Don't tell me he's living in you if you got hate in your heart, if you don't love. Amen, love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Amen. 1 John 3, he said, he said, verse John 3:14, he said, we know that we pass from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Amen. We love the brethren. 1 John 4, he said in verse number 7, he said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Amen, preacher. I'm saying you can't love some people. There's a lot of people you can't love. I can't look up in here. I can't love Barack Obama without the Spirit of God inside. I'll be honest with you. Amen. Look up in here. I can't love people like Adolf Hitler. People like, hey, I can't love. Look up in here. It's preaching time. It's going to be all right. There's a lot of people that I can't love. But I'm going to say one thing. When you get the Spirit of God living inside you, you've experienced a new birth. You've got new life. You've got new love. And you can love them. Amen. Romans 12, Paul wrote, and he said, let love be without dissimulation. It's kind of what he's saying over here. This unfeigned love, without dissimulation, it ought to be sincere. Don't just tell people in the church when you shake their hand that you love them, you know, because you're in church and everything. Come on now. It's easy to walk by somebody in a nice dress, smells good, and you say, oh, I love you and everything, and walk on, and then you go outside and you talk about them like a junkyard dog. Did you see him? No, he said, let love be without unfeigned love. Unfeigned love. That's what he's talking about. Can I say, man, I could go on. In 1 Peter 3:8, he said, finally, brethren, be of one mind, all of one mind, having compassion one toward another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. We ought to love as brethren. Can I say the only way you and I can ever know or experience or even express such love is by being born again. Amen. You'll not know this love without being born again. So I want to say something. Hey, if we got to have this love, amen, in our life, and we got to have this new life, hey, I'm going to say it only comes to the new birth. So this morning I want to say a few things about the new birth. I want to give you some things about the new birth. And I think it'll help you if you'll listen, amen. How many will listen real good? If you'll listen real good, I'll try to preach real good. Amen. Somebody told me last week I was preaching a whole lot better. I said, you keep praying, amen. Amen. Let me say something about the new birth. The new birth. Let me say, number one, I want you to see the motive of the new birth. The motive of the new birth. Hey, why can I be new birth? Why would I ever want to be born again? Why? I'll tell you why. I look back in verse 18. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Can I say, number one, the motive for the new birth is the supernatural love of God. You say, where do you get the love of God and all that? The Bible says in John 3:16, you all know it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, the Bible said, Christ died for us. Amen. Look up in here. He didn't die for you when you was on your good day. He died for you when you was on your bad day. He didn't die for you when you had it all together. He died for you when you was under it all, amen. Can I say, hey, that's a supernatural love. Hey, what kind of love? Hey, what kind of love would a king of kings leave a throne of splendor and he owned all of heaven and everything was at his command? What kind of king like that would stoop down to become one of you and me, be born in a lonely barn, hey, be born in a barnyard, hey, laid in a stable, amen. Hey, come down here and be... born in a barn, amen. A king now. And then not only to do that, but to grow up and live a sinless, perfect, impeccable life and go to a cross, not for anything he had done, but for what you had done and what I had done. Can I say that's a supernatural love? It's a supernatural love for the Father to send him. It's a supernatural love for the Son to come. Amen. It's a supernatural love. It's a sacrificial love. I see here the Bible says that he was as a lamb. The Bible said he was a precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's a picture of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament in the old days. And before Jesus Christ went to the cross, those Old Testament priests, they would have to get a lamb. The people would bring them a lamb. It would have to be without blemish, without spot. It would have to meet the requirements. And then every year they would go into the tabernacle on the Day of Atonement. They would offer up that lamb. And wait a minute. When Jesus came, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hey, and let me say, Jesus, nobody murdered Jesus. You hear about Jesus say, well, they killed him. Hold on. Physically, they had to put the nails in his hand. But can I say, the Bible said, Jesus said he laid his own life down. He said, no man take your life from him. Can I say, that's a sacrificial, it's a selfless love. Hey, that's the type of love that we see here. That's the motive of the new birth. You say, why should I ever be born again? I'll tell you why. Because God loves you. Jesus loves you. You're going to tell somebody that loves you enough to give his life for you? He gave up heaven and came to earth and went to a cross and died for you and shed his blood, and you're going to spit in his face and say, I don't need that. Hold on now. You say, I'll buy my way. Hold on, verse 18. You know you're not. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed. The word redeemed has the idea of to be bought back, to be bought out of the slave market of sin, to be bought out of it. Never to be sold again. He says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Can I say a few things about this redemption? This redemption that Christ provided at Calvary through the, on the merits of the supernatural love of God. Can I say, number one, it's paid for. Amen. Look up here. We don't give money in the offering plate trying to buy our way into heaven. Amen. We don't come to church three times a week, four times a week, whatever it is. Hey, we don't come to church trying to buy our way into heaven. We ought to come to church, but we don't do it to get to heaven. Hey, we don't shout and praise the Lord trying to earn our way into heaven. Hey, we do all those things because we're going to heaven because the price has already been paid. We're not redeemed with silver and gold. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Hey, it's a paid for redemption. Let me say this. It's a presented redemption. He said there in verse number 20. He said, but it was manifest in these last times for you. That word manifest means that it's been made apparent to you. It's right here. It's declared to you. It's presented to you. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to wonder this morning, where's my redemption coming from? You don't have to wonder, what do I got to do? You don't have, the way is clear, good neighbor. He's made it very apparent to you. He's presented you the way of redemption in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's paid for, it's presented, but let me say this. Not only that, can I say that it's precious? He said it's of the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. You think about something that's precious. You're talking about something that's valuable. Man, the preciousness of it. It's something that, it's not everywhere. Amen? Hey, all those Old Testament saints, every year they'd bring the blood. They'd offer up another lamb or another sacrificial animal, and the blood would be put on the altar, man. Every year it was a different animal. Every year. Every year, man, they came up with another, man, somehow, some way, they found them another animal for the next year. Every year, the Day of Atonement would come up, they had to have another animal. Watch this now. 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross of Calvary, and he shed his blood. And guess what? Since then, there's no blood needs to be shed. Why? Because I'll tell you why. His blood's precious. It's valuable. It's way more costly than any of those others. Hey, it cost him his life. Let me say, there ain't nobody like him. There ain't no blood like his blood. Amen. I hope y'all ready for this morning. Not only is it precious, but I'll say this, it's preordained. Your redemption was precious, amen. But your redemption was preordained. He said right here, he said in verse number 20, he said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Now don't get caught up, and get scared or nothing on that. But basically what that means is Revelation 13:8, he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What that means is, you and I didn't know what was coming, but before God ever created this earth, he knew that he was going to create a man. And he knew, look up in here, he knew there was going to be sin in the world. He knew we were going to fail him. He knew we were going to be lost in sin, depraved, and utterly condemned to hell. But he said, I am going to provide them a sacrifice. I'm going to provide a lamb. Take care of them. Hey, let me say this. Calvary wasn't plan B. Some people think, well, Jesus, they had to come up with a plan because, man caught him off guard. No, man didn't caught him off guard. God knew exactly what was going to happen. And before there was ever a sinner, God provided a Savior. Amen. Let me say, Calvary's plan A, amen. And it's plan B, and it's plan C, and it's plan D, and it's God's plan. Amen. It's precious, amen. But it's preordained. God knew exactly what he was doing. And you say, why did he do it? Because he loved you. Why did God give such a precious commodity in his only begotten Son? Why did Jesus give such precious sacrifices, his own body and his own blood? Because he loved you. I'm telling you, it's a supernatural love. That's the motivation. That right there is the motive for the new birth. For no other people talk about, let me say this. I got saved partially because I didn't want to go to hell. And you did too. Amen?
partial. But another part of it was because the goodness of God led me to repentance. You say, what's the goodness of God? The goodness of God is that Jesus Christ died for me on an old rugged cross. Amen. Some of y'all need to hear this. Hey, I'm telling you that if you go to hell, you're not going without a warning, and you're not going without an offer. Because if you go to hell this morning from this church pew, hey, you're going to go knowing that Jesus and God loved you enough to die for you and give His life for you, and He provided the sacrifice so that you could go to heaven, and you willfully said no. Amen. Let me say that's the motive. But let me hurry. I want to say something about the means of the new birth. Not only the motive of the new birth, but the means of the new birth. How did this new birth take place? Well, let me say this. The means of the new birth, hey, it brings spiritual life. And spiritual life is produced by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So, preacher, what are you talking about? We'll look at verse 22 again. He said, obeying the truth through the Spirit. If you've got a King James Bible, you'll see that word Spirit is what? It's capitalized. Amen? Y'all with me? All right, you know why? Because that Spirit, it's not talking about just any Spirit. He's talking about through the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. That's a person. And he said, hey, one of the agents in the new birth that brings the new birth is the Spirit of God. But then in verse number 23, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Can I say that new birth, hey, takes place when the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God get together? And can I say, hey, they work together, they don't work apart. Amen. I don't get too far ahead of myself, but in John chapter number 3, I'll go back there and I'll read you this verse again. In John chapter number 3 and verse number 5, Jesus said, listen, Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse number 5, he said, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You say, what does that mean, preacher? He's talking about exactly what Peter's talking about. The water is the picture of the Word of God. The water in the Word of God is a picture of the Word, the Bible, the Word of God. He said, except a man be born of the water, that is, except a man be born of the Word of God and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Here, verse 5 of John 3, and right here is, they go together, man. I'm telling you, you can't separate them. Titus said the same thing over in Titus chapter number 3 in verse 5. He said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration, that's the Word of God, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God and the Holy Ghost going together. This is the means of the new birth. He said in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Can I say to you this morning, hey, that you can't have the Word of God without the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that breathed in men to give us the very Word of God. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God when it's preached, because the Bible said it pleased God by the fullness of preaching to save them to believe. So when men and women hear preaching and they hear the gospel preached, the Holy Spirit is in the Word of God, and then He anoints the Word of God, and He illuminates your mind, and He opens your eyes, and He opens your heart, and He uses the Word of God to show you that you have a need of a Savior. He shows you that you need to be saved. And not only that, He shows you how you can be saved. And not only that, He takes that Word and He draws you and He convicts you and He shows you, hey, you're lost. Look up in here, the Word of God says you're lost and you're under condemnation. But hey, there's a Savior. And it's the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Spirit of God that uses the Word of God to show you that. Oh my. Spirit of God, the Word of God. Spiritual life is produced by the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no new birth. Without the Word of God, there's no new birth. You don't get saved reading the Reader's Digest. You don't get saved just because you had a bad dream. Amen. You don't get saved just because you thought you wanted to. No, you get saved because the Word of God is preached, and you hear the Word of God somewhere, whether it's in a tract, in a church, wherever you heard the Word of God, you heard it, and the Spirit of God, He combined with the Word of God, and He convicted, and He pricked your heart, and He shows you that you need a Savior, and that's the only way you'll ever be saved. And He draws you. And He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Can I say something about this Word? Can I say something about this Word of God? Can I say it's an incorruptible Word?
That word, not of corrupt, but of incorrupt, that word means that it's not liable to any corruption or decay. It's imperishable. Anybody ever bought any seed to plant with? And you plant a garden, and you plant it this year, and it grows, but you leave that seed out there for a few years, and you go back out there, you forgot about it, maybe you find it. You know what happens to that seed after a while? It begins to decay. It begins to perish. It begins to break down. And guess what? After a few years, that seed's no good. You know what? He's comparing the Word of God here to the seed. And he said, look up in here. He said, it's incorruptible. You can put that. Matter of fact, this Word of God is the same Word of God Peter wrote 2,000 years ago. Are y'all all right with that? And I'll just give you something else. When he's talking about the Word of God, he didn't have a New Testament in his hand. He was writing it. So he's talking about the Old Testament written more than that, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. Amen. And he said it's incorruptible. Amen. I'm telling you, this word is an incorruptible word. Let me say it's an inhabiting word. Inhabiting, preacher, what's that mean? That means to live or to dwell in. Let me say this, John 1:1, Jesus said, or John said in John 1:1 about Jesus, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we're talking about the Word of God, hey, we're talking about Jesus. Amen. We said a while ago that Jesus was impeccable. That means he could not sin. There was no flaw in him. There's nothing wrong with him. Can I say the theological debate is, could he have sinned or could he not have sinned? And can I say the Bible says in John 13, I think it's verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Can I say then, if that's the case, if he could have sinned, then he still could sin. And if he still could sin, you and I's salvation is not very secure. Can I say Jesus Christ could not have sinned? He's impeccable. Not a thing. And let me say, not only is he perfect, but right here is the written word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That right there is God. Look up in here. That right there is God. His Word, that's Jesus, wrote down in letters. Amen. That right there is it. Hey, can I say that book right there is just as perfect as the Son of God? Amen, preacher. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about an incorruptible word, an inhabiting word. Jesus is the Word. Can I say not only that, but Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. He said, and from a child, 2 Timothy 3:15, he said, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He's not talking about Matthew. He didn't have the New Testament. He's going back to the Old Testament now. And guess what he had of the Old Testament? He had copies of copies of copies. People say, well, preacher, this Bible can't be right. It's got to have errors in it because it's a copy of copies. Guess what Timothy was reading when Paul wrote in 2 Timothy? He was reading copies of copies of copies. And he said, hey, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation by faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, it's the Word of God that shows you you need a Savior. It's the Word of God that shows you how to be saved. And only with and by the Word of God can you be saved. James chapter number 1, James wrote in chapter 1 verse 18, he said, of his own will, that's Jesus, of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. With the Word of truth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Which liveth in the Bible. Of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. Of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth. Amen. I'm talking about an inhabiting word. Hey, Romans 10:17, for by faith cometh. Hey, what now? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You had faith in God enough to get saved and trust Christ because you heard the Word. Amen. That's what he's saying. Hearing by the Word of God. That's why you can't get saved apart from the Word of God. You've got to hear the Word of God to realize you need a Savior. You've got to hear the Word of God to realize there is a Savior. You've got to hear the Word of God to realize there's only one Savior. Jesus said unto him, hey, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. It's an inhabiting word. But let me say this. It's an immortal word. Immortal word. He said this. He said, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. I'm glad it's a living word, amen. Amen. This book right up in here, look at it. This book don't become alive when you read it and believe it. This book's alive. Amen. This book right here is a living word.
You say, do you believe in the living Bible? Yeah, I believe this one right here in my hands, living, alive and well, amen. Now, that one they call the living Bible, you might as well use it for toilet paper. Amen, preacher. Amen. They've changed it. They've turned it around. They put cuss words in it. That right there is not an incorruptible word. That's a changed word. That's not God's word. That's man's word. Don't get mad at me. Do some studying. Come back and we'll talk. Amen. This is an immortal word. It's not going to die. There's no death in it. There's no possibility of death. Can I say this? The enduring and the abiding permanence of the living Word of God is us as believers. That is our foundation. That is our guarantee upon which our faith rests. The Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now watch what he does. He compares the Word of God here. Now wait a minute. We're talking about the means of our new birth. How we get saved is through the new birth. You can't get saved apart from the Word of God. But watch now. He compares the Word of God to natural seed. Watch what he says. And we won't spend a lot of time here, but I just want to show you this. In verse number 24, he says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." You understand, when you grow grass grows up. It's pretty and everything. You got to mow it. But when the sun comes out and it don't rain, guess what happens to the grass? It withers up. And the flowers, man, you've got flowers out along your front of your house, your sidewalk, you know, around your porch. You got pretty flowers come up. And they come up, man, and you see the beauty. You see their glory. You see their fame. You see, man, what makes them so valuable. Hey, but guess what? About this time of the year, they're starting to... Are y'all with me? That's what he's talking about. He said, "For all the flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." And he said, "And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you." So we see here, he said, the flesh withereth, that is the grass, it's going to dry up. He said, the glory falleth away, the flower's going to fall away, that's the glory. And he said, it's going to perish, it's going to fall away, but he said, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Then he talks about the word of the Lord. In the verse 23, he talks about the word of God. In verse 25, he says, the word of the Lord. Give you this real quick. The word of the Lord in the Old Testament, that's the link in the Old Testament. That's what they linked when they heard the word of the Lord. That was the link with their covenant God when they heard the word of the Lord. That was the covenant God of Israel. When they heard Him speaking, they heard the word of the Lord. And Peter here is linking the word of the Lord and the word of God right together. And so what he's saying is, this is a divine word. He's saying Jesus is God, the living word. Right here, Jesus is the word of God. He is very God in Himself. The means of the new birth. Because the Holy Spirit ever took the word of God and showed you, you need to be saved and you trust in Christ through means of the word of God. The means. But let me say this. We've seen the motivation. Or the motive for the new birth. We've seen the means of the new birth. But I'll give you this. I'll give you the manifestation of the new birth. Can I say, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, still in the book. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Amen. That means when you got saved, just like, 37 and a half years ago almost, in Waynesboro, Virginia, there was a little beautiful baby born. Amen. A beautiful baby. March the 4th, 1975. That was a beautiful man. And that baby was born. And because that baby was born, as that baby began to grow, there was evidence that that baby was there. First off, that baby took up space. Amen. That baby took up some space. There was a house in Waynesboro that at one time didn't have a baby, but now they did. Amen. That baby made some noise. That baby ate some food, amen. That baby's still eating some food. Yeah. That baby began to grow. That baby, when he got hurt, he would cry. That baby, when he didn't listen, he got in trouble. Are you with me? There's evidence that a baby was born. You say, how you know? Because he's right here. When you were born, there's evidence you were born. And can I say, just as much on the physical side, when there's evidence you were born, on the spiritual side, when you experience the new birth, there'll be some evidence. There'll be some manifestation that a baby... You won't have to go around telling everybody, "Oh, I've been born again." You won't have to have somebody come up to your door and, "Hey, you ever been saved? You ever..." No. They get around you long enough, they'll find out. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Now it's easy. It's easy now. I'm setting you up. I'm trying to help you. It's easy for us to look at liquor and drugs and pornography and prostitution and we get off on these major sins that everybody knows is sin. Amen. I mean, the world knows that Christians don't drink and smoke and all that. I mean, the world knows we don't smoke pot. Are y'all with me? It's easy. I'm sorry, I came to preach this morning. I hope some of y'all won't come back on Wednesday night, Sunday night, so I got to give it to you this morning to help you. I mean, I'm trying to say this. Not only does the Word of God, is it our means of salvation, but it's our means of growth and maturity. You're not going to grow, and I'm going to show you this in just a second. You're not going to grow without a diet of the Word of God. You're not going to mature. You're going to wind up being a baby in a pen in a crib. And there's people in churches been saved for 10, 15, 20 years, and they're still... They get their feelings hurt about everything. They don't understand nothing. And the reason why, it's not because they don't mean well. It's not because they've never been saved. It's because they've never been under the Word enough to grow. Amen. There's a manifestation of the new birth. Can I say the manifestation of the new birth? Firstly, I want to say the manifestation of the new birth is what we call scriptural living. Scriptural living. Living by the book. Now, if it's good enough to save us, remember verse 23 back there in chapter 1, being born again, not corrupt. Hey, if it's good enough to born us again, it's good enough to bring us along. It's good enough to help us learn how to live. So let me show you a few things right here. Scriptural living. Number one thing about scriptural living is it commences with believing. In other words, it begins with believing. It commences. The beginning of scriptural living is believing. I mean, everybody understands you didn't get the new birth without believing. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen? Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can't begin the new birth. And that's where scriptural living begins, amen. Can I say, I don't care how good you are, I don't care what you do and what you don't do, if you've never been born again, all your do's and don'ts, hey, you can flush them. Amen, preacher. All our righteousness is filthy rags. Scriptural living begins with believing. Can I say, he said in verse 3 of chapter 2, he said, if so be that ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious. Can I say the Lord is gracious? I know He is because I tasted. Amen. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. He said, if so be. What He's saying, this word tasted has the idea of that you have partook, you have experienced, you have enjoyed. In other words, you have taken part in what He's talking about, being born again. The subject's still back to being born again. And he's in that thought. And he said, hey, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Can I ask you the question this morning? Have you ever tasted that the Lord is gracious? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been born again? Let me say, if you've been born again, he's going to show us something. Hey, number one, he said, if you've been born again, there will be an intense learning for yearning. A yearning. Intense yearning for learning. Excuse me. Watch what he said in verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, he's not comparing here meats and milks, which one's harder to diet. No, he's just talking about the Word of God and comparing it to milk as a dietary substance. And he said, just like a newborn babe, you ought to, if you've been born again, you ought to have a yearning, a desire for the Word of God. That's what he's talking about. Verse 23, chapter 1, being born again. Chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere.